and verse 36 to 50. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more? And Simon answered, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." And turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Lord God, we give you thanks for this, your word, and for the great word of hope in the gospel here of forgiveness in you, Lord, and how you desire to work your love in our hearts, and how you do that as we see the horror of our sin. Lord, may the light of your word search our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Billy Graham, in his book, How to Be Born Again, tells this story. And I quote, he says, "Several years ago, I was to be interviewed in our home for a well-known television show. And knowing that it would appear on national television, my wife Ruth took great pains that everything looked nice inside. She vacuumed and dusted and tidied up the whole house, but had gone over the living room with a fine-tooth comb, since that was where the interview would be filmed. When the film crew arrived, with all the lights and cameras, she felt that everything in the living room was in order, spick and span. We were in place with the interviewer when suddenly the television lights were turned on, and we saw cobwebs and dust where we had never seen before. In the words of my wife, Ruth, the whole room was festooned with dust and cobwebs, which simply did not show up under ordinary light," end quote. Have you ever had an experience like that? It's a humbling thing. And the point here, of course, is that no matter how well we try to clean up our lives and think that we have them all in order, when we see ourselves in the light of God's word, in the light of God's holiness, all the cobwebs and all the dust show up. All our sins and failures and shortcomings show up under God's intense spotlight. In 1 John 1:5, it says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. It's amazing to, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and yet if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And the point of this illustration in our text is that we see the light of Jesus coming here into, as he had been invited to the home of Simon. The light of Jesus shining into Simon's heart and into the heart of this woman who came and into your heart and mine today. That is the desire that God has in this text for us, that we would see what he sees in our hearts. Jesus was traveling here through the area proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. He'd healed many people, cast out demons, had just raised the widow of Nain's son. And Jesus here was invited to one of the Pharisees' homes, Simon. And we're not told his motivation, but it could have been to trap Jesus in something he would say or do. It's evident here that even the common courtesies, it was customary in those days that a guest would be greeted with a kiss, would be given water to wash their feet. A servant would actually come and wash their feet. They'd be given some olive oil to freshen up if they so desired. But when Jesus arrived here at the home of Simon, none of these things were offered him. But he was given a place at the table. And then this woman came who was known as probably a prostitute, obviously a sinner, that's an immoral woman. And when she learned that Jesus was reclining at the table with the Pharisee's house, that didn't stop her from coming. That's quite amazing, really. That her great need for Jesus and his forgiveness was greater than taking the risk of being kicked out of the Pharisee's house, Simon's house. She followed Jesus in. And when at first it's interesting, we're probably not told all the interaction here, but what is told us here is quite significant, is it not? How Jesus, Simon was thinking to himself, well, if Jesus is really a prophet, he would know who this woman is who's touching him and who's wiping her tears are being falling on his feet, and she's kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. And Jesus sees and knows Simon's thoughts, and he replies here in this text, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, say it, teacher. A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. And a denarius was a common wage for a day's work. So about 50 denarii would be about 20 months' worth. 500 denarii, about 20 months' worth. And 50 would be about 2 months' worth of wages. And neither was able to repay. So the lender here graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him the more? And Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said, you have judged correctly. There are a number of lessons here that Jesus would desire to teach us in these verses. First of all, that we are all in debt to God because of our sin. What Jesus said to Simon and the woman had related there, had relevance not only to them and to all who are in the house, but to each and every one of us today. Because God here desires to shine his light into your heart and mine. Now, you ever look at an x-ray, for example, and you see your skeletal structure, right? Or, you know, it's things that are not visible to the naked eye, but show up on an x-ray. And as God searches with his intense light into your heart and mine, he sees the thoughts and intents of the heart. Like even his word. Hebrews 4:12 says, is able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's living and active and powerful, piercing as far as the division of joints and marrow, able to judge our thoughts. And God sees and knows in your life and mine when we have covetous thoughts, when we have lustful thoughts, when we have greedy thoughts, when we have unforgiving thoughts, whatever our thoughts are toward anyone and what comes out in our words, He sees and knows it all. Our sins and our thoughts and words and deeds. We can't hide anything from God. And we see that here in this text. And this confrontation here, the light exposes and what's really going on in your life and mine as we're brought face to face. And this Pharisee and this woman are brought face to face with their sin. Notice here, secondly, that not only that we all have a debt to God, but we see that we're all individually responsible for our debt to God. You know, when Adam and Eve fell into sin in Genesis 3, Eve tried to blame the serpent, and Adam tried to blame Eve. And that's our nature, to blame others when things don't go the way we think they should in our life, to blame others, or even for our own sin. When we get angry or upset with people, well, if so-and-so hadn't said or done what they did, then everything would be fine. I wouldn't get so angry. But you know, you and I are responsible for our own anger and our response to situations in life. God holds all of us accountable for how we live the life He has given us. In Romans 14:12, it says that each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We shall give an account for every idle word we speak. And his intense light searches the thoughts and intents of our heart. And just as the two debtors in the parable discovered they were responsible for their debts, regardless of their circumstances that led them to this point of bankruptcy, we too must stop making excuses and face up to our own sin. There's no difference, as Romans 3:23 says, they all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Thirdly, note here too that we are incapable of repaying our debt for our sin. To be aware of our sin and failure to pay the debt we owe God has led many people to tell themselves that if only if they try harder to do better, that things will improve in their life. But Scripture tells us in many places that no one on the basis can be declared righteous before God in this way. As hard as we may try, all of us must come to the place where we realize that even our best efforts are like filthy rags to God. I love how the writer of August Toplady in the hymn Rock of Ages says it. He says, "Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone." It's only God who can forgive our sin. And that's really the powerful word of this text. How Jesus forgave. And in this parable, the lender here forgave these debtors, the 500 denarii, the 50 denarii. He graciously forgave them both. And which of them will love him the more? The one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said, "You have judged correctly." And turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "You see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. But she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Those are some of the greatest words that any one of us can hear. Jesus so willingly paid the debt for our sin. The price had to be paid. You know, it's in this parable, the other side of this. If you ever have ever lent someone $1,000, for example, and they come and say to you, I'm sorry, I can't repay that $1,000. Will you forgive me that debt? And you say, yes, I forgive you that debt. The essence, the other side of this is that you're out that $1,000, aren't you? Or whatever that debt is. And the beauty here is that this isn't just merely something on a ledger. But Jesus willingly, freely paid the debt that we owe at the cross. When he died the death we deserve. The wages of our sin is death. But he took that so willingly for us. And he paid the amount in full. It is finished. And so this woman who came seeking his forgiveness was graciously forgiven. And the response of this forgiveness is definitely one of love. Seeking God's grace, seeking Christ's grace. There's a brokenness over her past life as she comes to Jesus. And he gives her this absolution. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You are freed from your load of sin, your debt of sin. And friends, you and I today are much like that. Unless we're like Simon, thinking that really we're not that bad of a sinner. That we think we're pretty good, self-righteous. The temptation for us often is to compare ourselves to others, like Simon did with this woman, thinking he was much better, had a holier-than-thou attitude. But Christ's light here shines into his heart and reveals how lacking in love, lacking in, well, the sin of selfishness and pride and arrogance and was obvious, even with the common courtesies that were not given to Christ. God sees and knows our heart. Sometimes people are too proud to admit their need, their sin. Are you seeking God's grace and forgiveness today? His light searches our heart. You know, sometimes we can resist. But the remedy for every one of us is to look to Jesus. Have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you see these truths personally? And your prayer is, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I need your grace. I forgive you. I need your forgiveness. I see how I'm in debt to you, O God, because of my sin. I'm responsible for that debt, and I'm totally incapable of repaying the debt for my sin. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Those who are forgiven much, love much. When we see how much we have been forgiven when we bring our sin to Jesus. And yet he loves us. He says, go your way, sin no more. Your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You know, do you see that in your life? the great grace of Jesus, greater than all our sin? You know, C.T. Studd said it this way, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. And this woman who anointed Jesus' feet, and Mary Magdalene who anointed his feet too before his burial, before he went to the cross, had a keen awareness that Christ would be crucified. And in love, she too anointed his feet. He who is forgiven much loves much. When we experience this grace of Jesus, he gives us grace to love him more and to love others more in the life he gives us. To love one another as he loves us. And you know, as we bring this to a close and as we think of the great needs of others in our community, our congregation, that need that loving encouragement, to know that we love them, that we care about them, and those who aren't able to be here today, you know, it's a way that we too can share this love of Jesus with others in our community, that he loves and cares for every person. As his light shines in our heart, we see our great need. May we continue to look to him for grace and love, to love others even as he has loved us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this hope that you give to everyone who comes to you. As you search your light in our heart, you show us our sin, and you show us the Savior, Jesus, and your grace that's greater than our sin, that you stand ready to forgive all our debts, as many as they are, through the blood that you shed on the cross. Oh Lord, strengthen us to so take refuge in you and to so respond even in with the love that you give us in our hearts, to love one another even as you have loved us, even as you so graciously give us your grace. Oh Lord, strengthen us in this faith and trust in you, in your forgiveness and love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.